This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Offense Show. What's up? What's happening? Happy Monday. History Monday here on the Team 980. Alex Ovechkin has broken Wayne Gretzky's record. That is certainly not breaking news to you at this point. We are going to talk about it on the show today. This show's weird in terms of time of day sometimes. And I always feel weird when we do this, when we have a top story of the day, like what we have with Ovechkin, and then we don't actually start with it. So I wanted to say this off the top. This is not a reflection of anything other than the way we need to allot time on our show today. Cause we want to talk obviously about the NCAA tournaments as well. What UConn did yesterday on the women's side and Paige Beckers and, what's also next for her. And could that include DC? But also the men's tournament, that crazy Duke game on Saturday night, which is actually where we're going to open the show. But it is merely because we are on for 2 hours today and we only have so much time. So instead of being able to kind of circle back around to Ovi twice, we're going to do a big, huge Ovi chunk in the middle of the show, starting at 4:30. Kind of my thoughts on the record. We'll play you some of the sound. If you haven't heard Joe B's call or John Walton's call, both are exceptional. We got that for you. You'll hear a little bit from Ovechkin as well. So we are going to talk plenty about Alexander Ovechkin breaking this record today. But we will do that starting at 4:30. And we're also going to take your calls then at 301-230-0980. But because we have this limited time today, I want to make sure we get everything in. And this is just the best way to organize the show. It is not reflective of trying to lessen anything that Alexander Ovechkin has done, because what he has done is remarkable. And we'll get to it at 4:30. Also, as proof of how much we care, we called him one of the big guns. That's right. We got Steve Levy today. Levy's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. Of course, long, long time ESPN SportsCenter anchor, who is also the anchor of the NHL on ESPN's coverage, all the studio coverage. He's been covering the Stanley Cup final for them forever. And just absolutely loves the sport. And is going to be, with us at 5 o'clock. So pretty pumped to have Levy on the show today, to get his perspective on Ovechkin. But we actually start off on, Saturday night where, I thought I was cruising to a real good situation for me. I have this pool that I do every year, that I don't have to pay the entry fee for, cause it's like a friend of my aunt's. And every year, she copies me and my cousins, her sons, in an email and says, "Hey, do you guys want to do this pool? I'll pay for your entry." And it's like a $10 whatever. And I'm always like, "Yeah, if it's free, I'll do it." And so all of a sudden on, and I knew I was doing pretty well, thanks to listening to the advice of Kevin Brown, on this very radio show, pick a lot of favorites this year. It's going to be a chalky tournament. And so I, knew I was doing pretty well, but I hadn't actually checked the pool. And we get an email on Friday with an update. And it's like, here's the people that are in front. And I'm like, oh, I'm in second place. And I read the body of the email, and it's basically like, if Duke wins the pool or wins the tournament, Craig wins the pool. And so I am in great shape. All I need is the best team in the tournament with the best player that's been in college basketball maybe in a decade to go out and do their thing. And sure enough, in the first half, they went out and did their thing. And for the first part of the second half, they're out there doing their thing. Double-digit lead, no problems. Just don't have the worst stretch to finish an NCAA tournament game in recent modern Final Four memory, and you're good. And then, Anthony Haney, what did they do?
They collapsed.
They just didn't score.
Yeah.
They just flat out stopped putting the ball in the bucket. And, Anthony, I'll be honest with you in the audience. You already know this. One, because you know me, and two, because we talked about it. I didn't watch this game live because it started at 9 o'clock. And especially, that's not entirely true. I watched the start of this game live. I did not watch the end of this game live. And I got up on Sunday morning and I saw an alert on my phone. So I knew how this game was going to end. But I had DVR'd it, taped it, however you want to phrase, whatever the digital, added it to my YouTube TV library. And so I'm sitting there watching this game back on Sunday morning. And Duke is just crawling closer to 67 points. And I know that the final score is 70-67, which is now somehow ingrained in my head. And I'm just kind of like, how? You're telling me that they're not going to score more than like 6 points for the rest of this game? I was like, maybe I saw the alert wrong. Maybe they won this game and they'll at least get to 70. And then, like, Proctor goes to the line, and he misses the front end of that 1-1. And I'm like, oh, no. This is actually how this is. This is, I've lost the pool. And they've lost the game. And it's just unfathomable to me that a team who has a guy that's that good, nevertheless, three dudes that are going to the top 10, and we can't get more than one bucket in the final 10 and a half minutes from the field. That is, like, at some point, just call an ISO for flag at the mid post or at the top of the key and run a 1-4 flat. Like, literally, everyone else, get the hell out the way and let Cooper Flag go to work. I guarantee you give Flag five possessions, he's scoring on at least two of them. And it's not like Cooper Flag was bad. That dude is nasty. And I am, my fingers, toes, and every other thing that I can cross in my body crossed that the Wizards win the lottery and get to take that kid. Because he will change the franchise, whichever franchise it is that he goes to. And if it's the Spurs, I'm going to be so mad. How do they get Wemby and Flag? No, not allowed. And he was awesome. Knipple was great for the first 30 minutes. And the fact that they couldn't manufacture a bucket down the stretch to close that thing out is, one, brutal. But two, I think just the nature of college basketball. Because for as great as Cooper Flag was on Saturday night, has been the entire season, the AP Player of the Year for a reason. He's 18 years old. He reclassified. He's supposed to be a high school senior right now. And because these kids are so young, and by the way, they actually were going against a Houston team that isn't so young. That's 23. But even then, like, in the grand scheme of life, 23 is young. But for college kids, that's mad old. Like, you see the composure. You see some of that stuff come to light. And ultimately, Duke can't close that game. And I think mine and many other people's chances around the country that thought they were in great shape to win the bracket pools, down the drain.
Yeah, Craig, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I wasn't even thinking about the pools I was in. I was more so thinking about what we're getting deprived of. I think everybody in their right mind wanted to see Duke versus Florida. Like, we saw Florida win game one. So everybody just thinking like, all right, Duke, they're going to win. They're up 14. They're in the driver's seat. And still, even when Houston's coming back, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, Houston's going to make it close. Like, this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, when's the next? Like, it's a game of runs. Houston made their runs. They got it within six. Yeah. Okay, now let's go close it out. And, you know, something that I remember watching a lot of Duke – like, I grew up in ACC country, and I watched a lot of Duke basketball growing up, and – obviously, they've been great for my entire life, your entire life. So, you know, in a lot of big games. And I always feel like, you know, Krzyzewski's probably the best coach ever. But one thing that his teams would do sometimes that would drive you crazy is, like, they try to take the air out of the ball too fast. And instead of just playing, it's like, nah, man, keep your foot on the gas. And I did. That's the one thing. Like, some of it is just they missed shots. Houston did a good job. It's not like they were turning the ball over a ton. They had a couple critical ones, but, like, they had that turnover late, and it's like their sixth turnover the entire game. Like, that's not a lot of turnovers, especially against a team that pressures you the way that Houston does. But they had some of these long possessions that then just kind of meh at the end. And it's like, nah, you played a certain way with a certain urgency. And I think when you take the foot. It takes a very special type of player and team to be able to take your foot off the gas, but then accelerate at the right time. It's what separates the LeBrons, frankly, and guys like that at the highest, highest level to be like, I can slow this game down, take the air out of the ball, and then it's going to be me versus you, and I'm just going to win. And while they should have been able to do that with Flag and on some respect, how slow they played late in that game, I think it just creates a sense of urgency in the other team, and then you lose your urgency, and that combo comes together in a way that can cost you a game that you should have won and would have if you maybe, you know, didn't introduce that kind of tempo, that kind of attitude into the game.
Yeah, and I think just to your point, like Duke plays better when they're getting out into transition and things of that nature. And the fact that they wanted to, you know, slow the ball down, try to execute, Houston's good defensively. Like, that's their bread and butter. Like,
yeah.
So I think Duke sort of kind of played into Houston's hand a little bit, slowing the game down. And I think that's why Houston was able to, you know, ultimately come back. But also to the Cooper Flag point, and this isn't, you know, to, you know, take away from the season that Cooper Flag had. But I will say, Craig, if you look at all of Duke's losses and, you know, the fact that Shire, you know, put the ball in Cooper's hands at the end of games, he sort of kind of did come up short, like, in each of those moments. Like, you talk about the Clemson, he slipped and he fell. Turned the ball over against Kentucky, dribbling it out of bounds. So, like, I think I don't necessarily know if I like, you know, Shire's decision on that. I do. He's the best player. Get him the ball.
He's the best player in America. Yeah, you just didn't figure it out. But yeah, it is a good reminder that he's 18 years old and that he's not immune to pressure. But also, like, I know that in the USA Select scrimmage last year, he, like, hit some game winners and things like that. True. You know, against the Olympic team that wound up winning gold. So, like, I have no doubts about Cooper Flagg's clutchability in the long term, but clearly they needed a couple of buckets, and they couldn't get them on Sunday or on Saturday night, and ultimately that's why they're not playing tonight. Florida and Houston are the games here on the Team 980. Coverage from Westwood One starts at 6 o'clock tonight, right after us. We're done an hour early to give way to that. Of course, there was a Title I yesterday, and that is where we go next before we talk about Alex Ovechkin's history coming up at 4:30. UConn and Paige Bueckers get it done. We'll talk about it next on the Team 980.